This is KHOI Story City Ames. Welcome to Local Talk Wednesday on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in our seven-county listening area in central Iowa. Our host today is Gina McAndrews. What's coming up this week, Gina?
Well, we have an interesting group of folks joining us today to tell us about activities throughout our listening area. First, we have going to talk with a couple of folks from the Boone Rotary Club, who's going to tell us about the Boone Welcome Train that just came last week and is on location on the corner of Highway 30 and Story Street in Boone. And then we're going to Webster City to learn about an online workshop to create fantastic creatures. And finally, we'll find out about the Story County Boys and Girls Club, how they provide safe activities in towns in our areas. Well, that's a nostalgic welcome to our first show today. So to start us off, we have Dave Cook. He's a member of the Boone Rotary and also the co-chair of the Boone Welcome Train Project. Welcome, Dave.
Thank you.
Can you tell us a little bit about the inspiration for this project?
I can. And the sound of that steam engine is a sound that I not only love, but has become near and dear to me. So the Rotary Club of Boone is one of Iowa's oldest service clubs, longest serving. We were started in 1919, and as part of our centennial, we began planning a service project to not only give back to the community, but one that would be something within our club's history that would help to recognize this milestone for us. And as many people know, Boone is a railroad community. And I liken it to what tulips are to Pella, trains are to Boone. And so within our community, we set out on a project to move a steam locomotive, a coal tender, and a passenger car to the entrance of Boone to welcome tourists and travelers alike.
And so is that going to be on the northeast corner or the northwest?
Well, so when we started working on this project, there were two significant challenges that we faced from the beginning. One was that property, the property at the entrance of Boone along Highway 30, is owned by the Iowa DOT. And so one of the first things we did was we approached the District 1 office at Iowa DOT and asked if it was possible that we could place a train there. And, you know, we hear a lot about bureaucracy and that type of thing these days, but I can tell you that I met with them on a Friday and I had at least an agreement in principle on Tuesday.
Wow.
So to answer your question, what they told us was you can place the train on any one of the four corners of Highway 30 and South Story Street. And so after much work and planning, we chose to put it on the northeast corner. So when you come in off of Highway 30 and you take the curve into Boone, the train now sits right on that northeast corner.
Wow, that's terrific. So it's already in place or it's going to be?
So we spent a total of 3.5 years working to not only plan to acquire, to refurbish, and then to move the equipment. So as of last Thursday, the train is now sitting at the entrance to Boone, and people can see it as you come down Highway 30. We've said it's going to be, or it is now, I have to continue to remind myself that it's not in future tense. It's present at its location, and it is marvelous. When you come down the highway, you just can't miss it.
Well, that sure sounds exciting. So it sounds like you had a big group of people who were contributing to this, collaborating.
It's one of those projects that, as I said, we spent 3.5 years working on it. Not only did it involve the Iowa DOT and many people within their organization, but the list is just so long and it's too numerous to mention everybody. But obviously the city of Boone was an integral part. The Rotary Club of Boone has been the number of members who have been involved in this. I think it's probably touched every member of our club, both our noon and our evening club, as well as organizations like to move something this large. And the train, for those who haven't read about it, the train weighs over 300,000 pounds. The steam engine alone weighs over 200,000 pounds. The train cars are up to 80 feet long. What is sitting now is over a half a football field long. And so the number of people that we had to involve to move something like that includes not only Union Pacific, but Alliant Energy. They had to move 60 different power lines for us to move this 19-foot tall train through. We came all the way through downtown Boone, about 2.5 miles out to the site. Mediacom, CenturyLink, the Boone police were fantastic in helping to control traffic as we moved this through. And I was just so pleased that we had so many people along the route. The heavy haulers that were involved told us they had never seen that many people along the route. It was as if it was the Boone's Pufferbelly Parade, which got canceled, which is this year. It was our Pufferbelly Parade for 2020.
Wow, that sounds exciting. So what did they use to haul that, being so heavy, all the way down 2 miles?
So we actually involved 3 heavy haulers. This was one of the biggest challenges of this project, was to plan how we were going to move it from the Boone and Scenic Valley Railroad. And Boone and Scenic Valley Railroad is one of the main tourist attractions in Boone. About 50 to 100,000 people per year come to ride that train. They donated the equipment to Rotary for us, first and foremost. But the gist of the matter is that not only were we able to acquire that train, but also to be able to refurbish it so that it's something that our guests will not forget.
So where did it come from?
So I mentioned early on that there were 2 challenges in this. After working with the DOT, the second challenge was to find someone to donate a train. Because the Boone and Scenic Valley Railroad is located in Boone, obviously that was going to be our first start. And they have I call it the graveyard. It's really not, but it is a lot of old antique railroad equipment that they use for parts and to refurbish themselves. And so they donated the equipment to the city of Boone, and Rotary went out and basically did all of, we hired people to do all the sandblasting, and we did a lot of internal refurbishing and that type of thing that was necessary.
So when you say refurbishing, what did all that entail?
Well, so right now the train is just going to be, you're not going to be able to go inside the train, but we have spent, I would say it's about 8 months in total, sandblasting all of that equipment, replacing all the windows in the passenger car, painting the interior of the passenger car so that it looks good as you're coming down Highway 30, and then painting it in historically correct colors. And when it's all finished, on the tender, you will see Welcome to Boone will be on the side of that, on that tender, so that people see that as they're coming into our community. So just a lot of the restoration work was primarily involved in sandblasting and painting to get the cars looking. They don't look new, but you know you're looking at vintage equipment, but they look great.
And so what year are they from? Are they from 1919 or?
No, they're actually closer to from, they're different years, but in the 30s primarily. The steam engine of note is, was the second to the last steam engine in operation in North America. It came down originally out of Canada, and then the last steam engine in operation on a short line railroad in North America ended 3 months later after that one went out of commission. So they have a history to them. Boone and Scenic Valley Railroad bought them to be their first steam engine, but there was a hole in the boiler, I believe, which allowed it never to be fixed and back online. So it's been sitting at the railroad for, I believe it's been over 20 years. So
so now it's all completed?
No. So this was phase one, was to get the equipment refurbished and then moved to the site. And phase two now, we've actually started in the last couple days, and we will be building sidewalks around the train. We will be installing lighting, both interior lighting and exterior lighting, so that when you come into Boone at night, it's going to look like the passenger car will be lit, the front of the steam engine will be lit, and it will look like it's coming into town. And that's one of the original visions that we had, was we wanted the train to look not like something old and dusty sitting there, but something that was actively being used. And then we have a lot of signage and other things that will be installed, including a visitor's kiosk as well. So that work begins now. And we have been supported by our community since day one on this project. So they have donated, and we have sought grants and been successful at receiving grants. All in total, about $175,000. This is not an inexpensive project. We have about another $30,000 to raise now to complete the project. And when it's all finished, it's going to look, it's going to become like a park-like setting with the trees that we're going to be planting, so that as people come into Boone, they'll have a chance to not only walk out around the train, but to really enjoy it and understand its history. And it's already happening. Every day I'm out there, there are people stopping, and you see people taking pictures, and it's everything that we had hoped for.
That's terrific. Now, are you going to have mannequins inside to make it really, you know, people dressed up? And
well Gina, you're not the first one to mention that, but what we are, we're going to basically just stay with the lighted train at this point, and just allow people to kind of enjoy the beauty of the equipment. It is, if you get a chance to come to Boone, you will, and get it and go out by it, you will just be amazed at the scale. When I stand, just under 6 feet, and the wheels on this train meet me right at my forehead. Wow. And it's just, like I say, when you understand the size and the weight of this equipment, you just have to marvel at the people that built it.
That is amazing. So what do you want people to learn from this welcome train?
Well, I think, you know, for our Rotary is about service above self. It is about giving back to your community. And so we do all kinds of service projects, but for us, this is the largest service project in our club's 100-year history. And as an interesting side note, our club, I mentioned, is one of the older service clubs in Iowa. Our club chartered the Ames Rotary Club, their Noon Club.
Oh.
And in 1921, and the Ames Club will be celebrating their centennial in March of this next year. And like Boone, Ames Rotary is working on a significant community service project, again, to give back to the community that they've served for so many years. So it's an interesting aspect that both clubs in a relatively short period of time turned 100. So what do we hope? We hope that this project from this point forward, when people come down Highway 30, that first of all, it's a landmark. It becomes an icon that defines Boone and really reinforces our railroad heritage, which is so old and so long lasting. We hope that it kind of helps to reinforce a lot of the tourist attractions that we already have here: the Boone and Scenic Valley Railroad, the James H. Andrew Railroad Museum, not to mention the Mamie Dowd Eisenhower birthplace, Seven Oaks. You can just go down the list. So our hope is that more people, additional people, will make that left or right-hand turn off Highway 30, come into town, and see what we have to offer.
That's terrific. So you said you're in phase two. Is there another phase after that?
Well, I think at this point we've defined phase two. My guess is that this will, because it's going to be our welcome mat, if you will, for people coming to our community. So my guess is that this is going to be an ongoing project and something that we will continue to work and refine and update and add to over time. And it's one of those fun projects that once you start to work on it and get involved in it, it kind of it embraces you, and you just want to do more to make it even more special.
So are they going to have different scenes for the different holidays, you know, Thanksgiving and
Halloween? Well, I think
Halloween. You know,
it would be a natural for us to decorate, for example, for the holidays. One of the things that is going to allow us to do is we will be I mentioned the Welcome to Boone that will be on the train. It's also going to allow us to promote those community-wide celebrations that we have by putting a banner over that Welcome to Boone for things like our Puffer Belly Days and that type of thing. So things that would promote community-wide celebrations, we'll be able to use that to help to build awareness by not only people in our community, but those who are visiting as well.
So when was the last steam engine that went through Boone?
You know, Gene, I don't know the answer to that, but one thing I can tell you, that there are so many railroad aficionados that come to Boone with the Boone, that either volunteer on the Boone and Scenic Valley Railroad or come to ride it. And I'm always amazed that when, for example, in the 2 days that we were moving, that how many of these folks came to Boone to take pictures, because for them, this was another significant event where they got to see some of the equipment and the things that they love. They got to see them not only being cared for, but being put on display. So I had, for example, a gentleman from Woodward and another from West Des Moines that were out there taking pictures. They came back a couple days later to give me all the photos that they had taken. And, you know, so it's just that type of thing, that those people, they know the history of this equipment, and it's actually, they've done a write-up on it, and that will be used to help inform people on our kiosks about the history of the engine itself, the passenger car, and that type of thing.
Well, that sure sounds interesting. So it'll be quite an informative, and then it'll say for more information, you can go to all these other tourist places in Boone, it sounds like.
Exactly. So you'll be able to not only learn about the train there, but the other things in Boone that are of interest to travelers. And for those who are listening, if you'd like to learn more about the project and what we've done and what we are planning to do in the coming weeks and months, BooneRotary.com. It couldn't be simpler. BooneRotary.com. On our homepage, you'll see the welcome train, and it gives you information not only about the project itself, but as I mentioned, for those that we're still trying to raise some additional funds, so it tells you where you can send that tax-deductible gift as well.
Okay, that's terrific. So what do you need additional funds to do more of the kiosk and the phase two projects?
Well, so I mentioned it's a half a football field long, and when you build a sidewalk that goes out and all the way around that, it becomes more than a football field long. So building of the sidewalks, one of the things that we did was there were a lot of trees, trees that had been planted 10, 15 years ago. We moved all those trees, and we're going to try. Our hope is that the majority of them will survive being transplanted one more time. But when working with the DOT, we have to replace any tree that doesn't survive. We have to replace three trees for every one tree that we took down. And I should mention that probably the biggest supporter on this project from day one has been another Ames organization, and that's Fox Engineering. Fox Engineering, the work on this project was nothing short of incredible. And they did all of that work for us without charge. It was their gift to our community. And because this had to meet all of DOT's requirements, this is something that required licensed engineers, not the train type, but the civil engineering type, to do that planning, to draw up those plans, to identify all the underground utilities. So, you know, kudos to Fox for the work that they did, because we couldn't have done it without them.
Yeah, I bet. Wow, that's quite a feat when you think of, because you probably need the correct platform and the correct rails and the correct just.
Well, and I liken it to the site along Highway 30 and South Story Street. It is the Grand Central Station of underground utilities. So we have three underground gas pipelines there. We have high tension lines that go underground there. We have sanitary sewers. You name it, it is there. And so all of those had to be mapped so that we understood where they were when we moved the equipment and then when we placed the equipment, so that either they could have access to those underground utilities, or that we didn't damage them when moving this 300,000 plus pound equipment over the top. And so again, that was another one of the planning aspects, was how do you bring that, not only how do you bring that equipment across town, but how do you get it on site so that those utilities were not damaged.
So when do you hope phase two will be finished and that people will be able to stop by? And
People can stop by already. So if you come into Boone, turn into town, you can make your way back to the train. But to answer your question, when do we hope? I think it would be later this fall. So we started moving dirt yesterday, we have some. Next thing will be to get the signage up on the train, the welcome to Boone, that type of thing. And then we'll start to work on the sidewalks, installing the lighting and those types of things. But our hope would be that we would have that done before the snow flies this year. So,
Well, that sure sounds terrific. And can you remind everybody where to find more information?
I can. So if you'd like to learn more information about Boone's Welcome Train, BooneRotary.com, BooneRotary.com, and you'll see right on our welcome page. It not only talks about the train, but P.O. Box 532, it has it on there, and it lists not only the different donation levels, but how those donors will be recognized as well. And as I mentioned, we've had a lot of people involved, but some of our biggest supporters, in addition to Rotarians themselves, Another one, Boone is the home of Fairway stores. And Fairway, from day one, when we talked to them, they got on board and helped us to establish a challenge grant. And that's an organization that is, again, near and dear to our hearts, not only because they're a hometown company, but somebody who supported this effort and really helped to make it happen. So the list of donors is too long to mention, but we just really appreciate their help and support.
Well, thank you so much, Dave, for joining us today.
Well, we really appreciate the opportunity to talk about Boone's Welcome Train. We look forward to people coming to Boone and visiting.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
In case you just turned in, this is Local Talk, and we've just heard about the Boone Welcome Train from Dave Cook, who is a leading member in the Boone Rotary and is also co-chair of the Boone Welcome Train Project. We'll also have links on our website. It's time to move to a virtual workshop, which is being provided by Legacy Learning in Webster City. In accord with the CDC guidelines, this has been adapted from a children's sculpture workshop live to a Zoom workshop. It's being held by art teacher Madeline Loring, who is with us to explain how it can work. So welcome, Madeline.
Hello, it was nice to be here.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. Can you tell us a little bit about your workshop?
Yeah, so we are having our Fantastic Creatures or Monsters virtual clay class, and it's next Wednesday, August 5th at 6 to 7 p.m. And it's for all ages, from kids to adults. And what we're going to do through my instruction on Zoom, it's going to be a live class on Zoom, but we are also going to archive the video so students can see steps again and again. And also, if you cannot make the live class, you can create your monster or creature at your own pace at home. And I create a kit, a clay kit. You will go ahead and pick up at Webster City's, the pottery studio there is called the Produce Station Pottery Shop. And you'll go ahead and pick it up in Webster City, Iowa. And it includes two balls of clay, a wooden tool to sculpt, two paint brushes to paint with underglaze, and you will get an assortment of underglaze to paint and create your creature. When you are done, you can go ahead and when you're totally finished with your creature, you can drop it back off at the Produce Pottery Station so you can fire your piece in our kilns. We have a few different kind of electric kilns we're going to fire to a low fire. And it's going to look colorful, and our shop, we're going to put a clear glaze on top, so your creature will look really shiny. Thank
you. Well, that sounds like a lot of exciting. So is this your first workshop you've done on Zoom?
This will be our first clay virtual workshop on Zoom. We have done in the past painting virtual workshops this past summer, and we also have a writer's workshop that is ongoing via Zoom.
Wow. So is there a website people can find out all these different exciting workshops in Webster City?
Yeah. So you can go to www.legacylearningbrv.org. Or if you have questions, you can go to llbrvoffice@gmail.com. Or you could call the Produce Pottery Station, and it'll be 515-835-0497 to sign up for classes.
Well, that sounds exciting. Is the produce station your shop?
No, it's not. It's owned from Maureen Siemens. She is an artist and art educator in Webster City, and she is one of the head of the Legacy Learning Boone River Valley nonprofit art and nature board.
Oh, I see.
Yes.
But so how did Legacy Learning get started?
It got started by we wanted to create an opportunity for people, artists, the community to work with art and nature based in Webster City. And we want to extend a 4-hour radius outside of Webster City to allow more arts opportunities. We also have nature programs, which are run through Briggs Woods Park in Webster City. And that's about 2 miles away. And it's just a beautiful park. We go, and this fall, we're actually going to go there to do a leaf bowl class that I will be teaching, a clay leaf bowl. And what we do, we go to the cabins and we have a fun time finding leaves to press into our clay bowls. And we're going to use a slump or hump mold to create those.
Oh, wow. Will that be a virtual workshop as well? Or?
So the ones we're going to have this fall, we're going to have it be in person, but you can also have the option of doing it online as well. And it's going to be archived, so you can do it at home if you want to pick up a kit too. But we're going to practice our PPE and social distancing for these in-person workshops.
Mm-hmm. Well, that sounds interesting. Is that what you do? You do art teaching full-time?
Yes, I do. I teach at Webster City High School, and I'm one of the art teachers there. I teach intro to art, graphic design, photography, and my favorite thing is ceramics or clay. That's my favorite thing that I love to do.
So the focus of this one is to make monsters? Is that?
Yeah, this workshop coming up Wednesday, August 5th, will be about creating a monster, whether that is a made-up monster, maybe it has 10 eyeballs and 2 horns, or it could be a unicorn or dragon, something that some people want to create, a specific kind of mystical creature. So you can do that as well.
And it's for all ages, I take it.
Yes, it is. And it's simple. Some people will be like, how do I make a monster or a creature? And I will take you step by step how to do that. And it's not as hard as it sounds. It's fun.
It sounds like a lot of fun. How many people can register? Is there a limit on?
Honestly, there's no limit to registration. If you want to join, register either online at our website or call the Pottery Station, and you can sign up and I'll give you a kit.
Okay, so there's no tuition, no fees, or?
There is a charge. Yeah, there's some fees, but very affordable, low fees for our opportunities to create the monster and paint it.
And get it fired and everything.
Yeah, and fired. So it's a very unique opportunity to get a little bit of creativity and work with clay.
Well, that's exciting. Is this the first clay one that you've done?
No, I have done in the past at Legacy Learning Boone River Valley. I did a fairy house class. Was the last fall. I did the leaf bowl class. I do a lot of clay classes because that's my favorite. What else? Oh, we made pendants for Christmas gifts, clay necklaces. Just a lot of fun things. Next year, we're going to have a little bit more, hopefully. Hopefully all the COVID somehow goes away.
Well, that's sure exciting. So is this part of a community workshop, or is there a lot of different artists do different classes every week, or is it kind of once in a while?
Yeah, so we have a variety of workshops as well. So we just had a painting workshop online. We have wild foods classes, a nature class coming up this fall. We have creating welding workshops. and workshops can be one day, or there's a welding club as well every Wednesday at the Webster City High School. You can join, and then you can create really cool, like, creative flowers for your yard.
Wow.
Or just a little bit of welding. It's not like, you know, making a boat or anything, but it's like creative, and you're making basically with wire, a little bit of steel. So it's a nice intro class. We also have blacksmithing.
Wow.
Yeah, we have an instructor that shows a lot of blacksmithing. And also we have have an upcoming watercolor workshop that I will be teaching as well. And that will be online only. For now, we're doing online only.
Yeah.
Up until August. And then we're going to switch over once school starts. And we're also going to have a fall celebration fundraiser Sunday, November 8th this year, from 6 to 10 p.m. at Briggs Woods Conference Center. Our keynote guest is the wonderful Ames and Iowa native, Kelly Boone. She's an improv and visual artist of the Chaos Company, and she creates fun dialogue, performance art, and different kind of programs to help others, such as the Partners United, which allows artists to work with high-risk youth. And so she'll keep us laughing all night. She's a great person. So she'll be.
Well, that sure sounds exciting. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Do you want to tell us one more time what that website and the phone number is?
Yeah.
We'll have it on our website as well.
Okay. So our website is www.legacylearningbrv.org. Our email, if you have any questions, is llbrvoffice@gmail.com. And the Produce Pottery Station, if you want to sign up for classes, you can call or come on in. And it's 515-835-0497.
All right. And this class is, remind us when, what day and what time?
The Fantastic Creature or Monster class is next Wednesday, August 5th at 6 to 7 p.m. So a 1 hour fun clay class. Go ahead and pick up your kits anytime from now until next Wednesday at the Produce Pottery Station.
Okay. Do you have to register first before you go pick it up, or can you register at the store?
You can register at the store as well. So you can register online to pick it up later, or go to the store right away and get the kit while you're there.
Well, that sounds like a lot of fun. I might have to check that out.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Madeline.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right. So maybe we'll hear back another time when you have another workshop coming up.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Well, thank you so much. This is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, and artist Madeline Loring has been describing the fantastic creatures that participants will be sculpting in the workshop in Webster City on Wednesday, August 3rd. Since it's a virtual workshop, you can participate even if you can't get to Webster City. You can see the details on their website, and the link will be on our website. Our last guest is Erica Peterson, who is the Chief Executive Officer of Story County Boys and Girls Club. Welcome, Erica.
Good morning, Gina. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, happy to be here.
How are things going at the Boys and Girls Club?
Really, really well. Thank you, Gina. Yeah, we decided this summer to respond to the need for youth social emotional needs after all of the COVID closures. And so we opened the club on July 6th for a very safe, intentional, and reduced capacity summer program. And so we have just been thrilled with the response. The kids are having a wonderful time. They're responding very well to all of the safety changes and all of the mitigation strategies that we've put in place. But they just share every day how happy they are to be back with friends, to make new friends. Parents say they can't stop talking about it when they're at home, and from the time they wake up in the morning till they get to the club, that's just all they want to do. So we're really excited to be able to still offer some opportunities for the children in our county, even during this pretty unprecedented time.
Yes. So what type of, you said you have opportunities, what types of activities are you doing?
Yeah, you bet. So our focus is general youth development programs. So we're open in the morning from 7:45 until 4:15. And so we have the youth with us predominantly all day. And so throughout the day, there's a variety of activities and programs that we have going on, really with a focus on healthy lifestyles, academic success, and character development. So knowing that the kids have been out of school for quite a long time, we are making sure that we are doing literacy and math activities throughout the day. And so the kids are reading at least 1 hour every day. It's free choice reading. We know that that's of great value. And so they get to choose what they read as long as it's age appropriate. But they're reading at least 1 hour a day. We're doing a lot of physical fitness activities and in a social distancing manner. And so we have a wonderful gym down at the club. We also have a we have two lovely playgrounds and a lot of field space outside. And so every day they have a chance to spend some time in the gym and then also spend some time outside with some of that free play. And then the staff have also chosen to do a theme every week. So this summer it's been a 6-week program. And so each week is one of the values from the character counts values. And so like the first week we did citizenship and the kids focused on learning about different nations and about creating their own country. And they made their own flags and they designed their own laws. And it was just, so it was really kind of to help build some of that awareness of different aspects of character. And so, so every week it's had one of those different themes. Last week it was focusing on self-care and how to have a healthy self-image and take care of themselves and be healthy physically and mentally and spiritually. And so, so we're trying to, so that's kind of built into every day as well. And then of course they have some free choice playtime as well. We have different areas in the club. Every day they rotate into a different area of the club. I should back up and just explain real quick. So when the kids sign up, they sign up each week and then they are with that same group of kids for the entire week. So we create pods. And that is one of the CDC recommendations for helping to mitigate spread. And so the children stay with the same staff and the same kids all week long. And then every day they are in a different area of the club so they can experience different areas. So one day they might be in the games room. And so they'll still have their character development and their literacy programs and arts and crafts in the games room, but then they can do some of the activities in the games room. Like they might play pool, they might do Lego building, or they might play some of the board games. And these are all things that can be, any of the things that we do can all be wiped down and cleaned, disinfected midday, disinfected at the end of the day. So those are pieces that we're making sure that we do. All staff and kids are wearing masks as well, or cloth face coverings. And so that's been kind of a learning curve, I think, for everyone. But what we have found is the kids adapted very, very quickly to that process. And it's actually, I think, a really good preparation for when they are getting ready to go back to school. Because we know that that's, depending on what district they're from, that is something that many of the districts will be requiring. And so helping them already to understand like the importance of washing their hands frequently, not touching their face, wearing those masks, keeping what we call them airplane arms, right? So spreading their arms out and making sure their fingers don't touch so that they're, keeping distance as much as possible. And so so it's been really great to kind of watch just how they've adapted while still being able to have some of those social emotional needs met. They have lunch and a snack every day as well. And so we provide a balanced meal. We'll have a morning snack, an afternoon snack, and then there's lunch in the middle of the day. So making sure to address any hunger insecurity that might be affecting some of our families, but just, keep those tummies from grumbling so that they can focus on just being kids.
Well, that sounds like a wonderful program. So can they sign up for just 1 week and then not the next week? Or is it the same? Yes. They're with the same pod week after week after week?
Great question. So yes, they can sign up 1 week and not sign up the next week. And then the team arranges based on who's registered for that particular week. The team arranges who's in that pod. They are grouped by ages. So we have a younger group of like 6, 7, and 8 year olds. And then we have an older group of more so like the preteens and some teens as well. And so that group, the teens kind of break away and do their own thing, even within that same group. But so we just kind of divide it up based on how many kids are registered for that week and go from there. So
having all summer, like every week.
Average. So our numbers have been lower than a normal summer, which was to be expected. So we're seeing, about 15 to 20 kids a day. So a very modest number. But what we found is that it's definitely, it's a different energy than what we're used to. Our facility capacity under normal times is 115. So it's a very different feel than just have this cozy number. But by keeping them in a pod, it really helps them to build that sense of community, build that continued sense of belonging that they've reported year over year that they really love about the club, build a strong relationship, positive relationship with our adult team members. And so it's been good. It's been different, you know, as expected, but it has been good. One other thing that we're doing that's different this summer is we've also launched a program called Club in the Park. And so that just started this last week, and we are going to Daly Park on the west side of Ames, and then Inez Grove. So Daly Park in the morning from 9:30 to 12, and then from 12:30 to 2, we are at Inez Grove Park. In what is that? Northwest Ames?
East.
Northeast. Yes. So Daly Park on the west side, Inez Grove on the east side. And so kids who signed up for that program, so that one looks a little bit differently. It's just like a 2-hour block of time. Anybody who signs up for that program can come Monday through Thursday, and we ask that they register ahead of time. And there is a project learning, a snack or a light lunch, and then some community building and maybe a little bit of fitness time together just as a group. And so that's an opportunity for parents who maybe just want, you know, a couple of hours for their kids to socialize with some other youth in the community. Again, we're practicing social distancing and wearing masks. We are doing daily health screenings at both the Ames location as well as in our Club in the Park program. Just to make sure that, you know, we're monitoring staff and children prior to entering the building or entering the program.
So you just do like temperature or?
Yes, we are doing temperature checks. We are checking for particular, we ask about symptoms and then any potential exposures. And so those are just some of the processes that we're going through.
So it sounds like there's a lot of different locations around Story County.
So we have under normal times, we have two locations in the county. We have our Ames Club, which is located down on South Fifth Street, and that is a dedicated club facility. It was built as a Boys and Girls Club back in 1998. And then we also have a second site in Nevada, and that is hosted by Central Presbyterian Church. So that is our middle school, that is a middle school only site. We serve fourth through eighth graders at that particular location. In that location, unfortunately, we've kept that one closed during the pandemic and the closures, but we are planning to reopen this fall. And so we are excited to be able to relaunch that program in partnership with the church and with the Nevada community who have been incredibly generous. And so we will start that back up. We will be doing after school programming, again, social distancing and masks. But nonetheless, we will still continue to welcome youth back there. So
that's terrific. So for right now, people come at 7:45 in the morning and then they're with you all day.
Correct.
They're like coming and going all through the middle.
Right. So with parent, they're not coming and going. That is correct. Once you check in for the day, you're there for the day until it's time to check out. We are working with some families who need to drop off a little bit later or need to pick up a little bit earlier, and that's fine too. But yes, it's not a come and go. Once you're there for the day, it's staying for the day. So, and we're the Ames Club site program, or what we're calling the day club experience, is it runs Monday through Thursday, 7:45 to 4:15. And then what that allows is that then our team comes in on Friday for an extra deep cleaning, additional ongoing professional development. What we're finding is that there's so much information that changes from week to week, or just that we need to stay ahead of and make sure that we're keeping our team informed of. So it allows us to do that ongoing professional development with our staff every week, along with that extra cleaning, and then also doing some of the additional programming pieces in preparation for the following week.
Yeah. And can people come, you know, Monday and Wednesday, you know, say they're only like 2 days instead of the whole week? Or
that's a great question. Obviously, we would love to have them Monday through Thursday. But if the only days that they can come would be, you know, 2 days a week, that's something that we could, that we can work with as well. So, and so we would encourage folks, if they would want to sign up, to come and sign up for the, and have their child come every day.
Well, that sounds terrific. And so you're going to be all day until school starts.
Great question. Actually, no, we are only going through August 13th. So that then we have a couple of weeks off in preparation to get ourselves ready, kind of get everything switched and turned around and ready for the school year. So we do plan to be in person again this fall. We are, our plans for the fall are in development though. As far as, you know, we're watching closely what the school districts are going to be doing, which plan they're going to be returning with. We know already that the Nevada school districts are planning on in-person schooling. And so we will be planning on doing our after-school program in Nevada. So kind of following just a normal model there, again, with additional precautions in place. And then we are waiting to see what the Ames Community School District, what decision they'll be making. And it sounds like that's, that will be coming next week. And so, so our plan is in development to see how best we can respond to the needs of the children and families within our community.
Well, that sure sounds terrific. And it sounds like you've been busy.
It has been very active. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. But we are so, so glad to have the children back. And we can see them smiling because their eyes are squinting, yeah. Right? Even if they've got the masks on, you can see the little squints. Oh, so, you know, they're having a good time. So
that's one thing. I'm sure the kids are easier to adapt.
Yeah. Yeah. They've been really great. They've been really great. So just a cute story. Yesterday, I was checking in one of our 7-year-olds and, you know, asking about the symptoms, you know, have you had a fever? Do you have a cough? Like, you know, asking all those things. And the kiddo was just looking at me like, no, no, no. And I said, are you ticklish? And she just started giggling and she's like, yes, I am. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to check. I just wanted to make sure you were listening. So, you know, so even in all of these, you know, even though this is a really trying time, like learning, yeah. You know, how can you have a little fun with it? How can you still keep it light, especially for the kids, you know, because it's been a burden on them as well. And so, so it's,
there's probably some adults could use a few of those questions too.
So yes, yes. I'll ask the team.
Thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah. Thanks for having us. I really appreciate it, Gina. Thank you.
Thank you, Erica. You've been listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. I've been your host, Gina McAndrews, and the other voices that have joined us today are Dave Cook, Madeline Loring, and Erica Peterson. Local Talk will be rebroadcast at 7 p.m. At noon, the Ames Public Library will present Reading Radio Live. You can listen to today's local talk show and any of our past local talk shows online at our website, khoifm.org. There you will also find information about our guests, along with the relevant links to today's stories. Local Talk was engineered by Michael Murphy. Our theme song is Backtracking by Al Harris and Tom Richards from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. Other music you heard was Lonesome Train and Steam on the Bridge. Local Talk is a radio production training workshop as well as a show. If you would like to join the team as a reporter, contact us at 515-292-2878. That's 515-292-2878. Or you can contact us through our website at khoifm.org. That's khoifm.org. That's also what you need to know to contact us if you would like to become a member or renew your membership. You can just go to our website and hit the yellow donate or become a member button. We're always welcoming more folks in our community. If you enjoyed the show, please tell your friends. Remember, your participation as listener and your generous contributions are what makes KHOI possible. Thank you for listening, and see you again on the radio.